All right. Well, I am excited to be here, and I hope you are too. It's been a great camp. I've been really pumped up by the messages that we've heard thus far, looking forward to the ones yet to come. You know, when Mr. Wilson first announced on Friday night, this is the first time I had heard it, what the camp theme was from the book of Isaiah, my heart dropped. And I was telling Jeff this yesterday after he got done, my opening scripture is out of Isaiah. And I didn't know that we were going to be preaching on Isaiah. So I thought, holy moly, by the time we get to my message, I'm sure it's trampled. And it hasn't been hit yet. Not the scripture that I'm going to open with. So turn with me to Isaiah 58. Sometimes it's amazing to me how God choreographs things. Because I really did not know the theme of camp. And a lot of my scriptures are coming out of Isaiah. I've been reading a lot in Isaiah and really focusing on the book and using it in my prayer time in the morning to refocus myself. When I got to Isaiah 58 hit me hard this year. We're going to read Isaiah 58 together. Cry loudly. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways. As a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God, they ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. It is a fast like that this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself. Is it for bowing the one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break out like the dawn and your recovery will speedily spring forth. And your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and He will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in the darkness. And your gloom will become like midday, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways and seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord and will make your And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This year I've really tried to look for new faces here at Family Camp, and to go and introduce myself and make sure that I extend myself. First face I met this year, believe it or not, was Clint Eastwood. Was. That's how he introduced himself. Clint Eastwood. And you know what? I will never forget his name. You know who I'm talking about? Now, this is the Clint Eastwood in my mind. Big red-headed guy right over here with a big beard. I don't remember your real last name. Hartman, that's right. And I should have remembered that. But Clint Eastwood will stick with me forever. He's a big, imposing guy. And then he introduces himself as Clint Eastwood. I've really enjoyed this camp, and it's been good for me. I have needed to hear the messages that have been preached. You know, I'm not a preacher. And I'm not just saying that because it is true. I am not a preacher. I work with some of the youth. I've done the boys' Sunday school class in Bozeman now for probably going on 8 years. And I enjoy working with the youth. I enjoy teaching. But I'm not a preacher. So getting up here at Family Camp is a tremendous privilege, but it's almost a burden too. Because I don't preach every week. The last time I preached was in North Dakota this summer. So it's been a while. So if I'm a little rusty, I apologize. And I hope that I've not pulled these scriptures out of context. But this is how they hit me. I'd like to ask, I don't know, is Phil here? Phil Sutton, are you in here? Oh, no wonder I can't see you. You're behind the speaker. I love that guy. Phil, would you come up? I am so appreciative for Phil. Phil has been just a refreshment for me, because he brings a different perspective to Bozeman, a new perspective, and I'd like him to pray for my message this morning.
Our great God and Savior, just how thankful we are that we are in You. We have Your Holy Spirit dwelling within us to never leave us, never forsake us, to empower us to do Your will and to resist this world. We're thankful for the hope of the resurrection of the dead and eternity with You and with all the saints. And Father, this motivates us, this pushes us forward, Father, to with great joy and excitement, Lord, being a part of this kingdom. I pray that You would be with Brother Nick this morning. We know that You are, Lord, and pray that He realizes that and with great confidence encourages us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. So here in Isaiah 58, first five verses, God says, cry loudly and don't hold back. And that's good advice for all of us. We have a message. We've been given a message. We've heard that this weekend, how important we are in the spiritual revolution. We play an important part in hastening the coming of the Lord. When that last soul is saved, then Jesus is coming back. And I look forward to that day. But until then, cry loudly and do not hold back. But I don't think that in the first five verses here, that God is necessarily praising the people. See, what the people were doing is they were looking righteous. if I understand this correctly. But they were causing strife and debate. They looked good, but not for God's glory. And so in verses 6 through 9, God explains how He wants His people, what He wants His fast to look like. Verse 6, "Is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into the house? And when you see the naked, to cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth." See, what God wants is He wants us to offer our bodies spiritual sacrifice. And what that's going to look like is us going out and seeking and saving the lost and meeting them where they're at. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're poor, clothe them. Does that sound familiar? It's not about self-gratification. It's not about us looking good as individuals. It's been well said, there's so much knowledge under this tent. I loved what Mark said last night about being a casual Christian. There's no such thing as a casual Christian. Also appreciated Luke's message last night. He actually hit my other scripture in Isaiah, which is Isaiah 55. Please turn there with me. One of my all-time favorites from the book of Isaiah, beginning in verse 1. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance." You see, God has and will supply everything we need if we follow Him wholeheartedly. Go back to Isaiah 58. God shows us what He expects us from us. Not what we think we should give, but what He wants. And I'm interested in what God wants. There's some blessings that come with doing it God's way. Beginning in verse 10 of 58. "If you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. The Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden." And he goes on through the end of the chapter to describe the blessings that come from doing it His way, not my way. Do you thirst? Ho, you who thirst! Do you thirst for God's righteousness? So do you rely on His ways or your ways? You know, this has been a rough year for me spiritually, because I've been trying to do it my way and not God's way. Not seeking God's will, but my own. And I'm not ashamed to admit that. because it's the truth. And I've had to do some repenting this year. On July 30th, Mr. Wilson preached a message to the congregation in Bozeman. At the tail end of his message, and this is me paraphrasing it, he said that the Bozeman congregation is dying. I don't remember all of it. He said that if we continued on the path we were on, there'd be 10 kids in the school, and I don't remember a lot of it. The gist was, and what I heard was, the Bozeman congregation is dying. That next week, on August 6th, and again, I do the boys' Sunday school, so I don't get to participate in the men's Sunday school or the adult Sunday school class that goes on in Bozeman. But that hit the congregation, I think, anyway, like a ton of bricks, and it needed to. So on August 6th, in the adult Sunday school, Jerry Hoffman had a question for Mr. Wilson. He wanted him to comment on his comment the previous week. I wasn't in that class. So I don't get to see, you know, the body language and to read the faces of those who were there. I didn't get to see Jerry's face as he asked the question, or Mr. Wilson as he responded. But Jerry wanted to know what Jay meant by his comment that the Bozeman congregation is dying. I thank God, for the ability to go back and listen to these messages that are on the website. Because I got to hear it through the website. So Jay said, and Mr. Wilson, if I misquote you correct me, that his comment wasn't a critical comment. It was an analytical one. The congregation, he said, I'm quoting Mr. Wilson, had done almost zero evangelism since 1995. That's 22 years. And he went on to explain, and if you were in the personal evangelism class that Mr. Wilson did yesterday, a lot of what he did yesterday, he did on August 6th to show, well, first of all, what we have to do as a congregation to keep from dying. But as I listened to this message online after the fact, I was upset. We were sitting in the office. Charlie came in. And I said, Charlie, have you heard that message? And he hadn't. And I was fired up. I had to work on my attitude. And I've had to think through what was said, and then take a good self-evaluation of myself. I had to work on my attitude. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent! I had to repent. Because Jay's right. And it doesn't reflect hope. If we're not evangelizing, we're dying. Jay went on in Sunday morning class. We didn't hit this yesterday, so we're going to turn there to Revelation chapter 2. The message to the church in Ephesus, beginning in verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and that you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and that they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and you have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you've lost your first love. Therefore remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do deeds you did at first. Or else I am coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. And this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Jay went on to say that many of the things that the church in Ephesus were doing here, we're doing in Bozeman. Doing a good job. We in many senses, are a reflection of the church in Ephesus. We don't tolerate evil men. We test those who call themselves apostles and are not. We have perseverance. We have endured. We've not grown weary. Then I had to ask myself, have I lost my first love? Have I, like Paul, or like John's warning here to the church in Ephesus, have I lost my first love? See, the first love that's being spoken of here is the desire to seek and save lost souls. You can be doing a lot of things right. In Isaiah 58, they were doing things right. It just wasn't pleasing to God. Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we doing what we want to do? You know, as I'm struggling with my attitude, and I told Charlie, I was upset. A lot of times in my life, Charlie is my, I don't know what you'd call it. If I got a problem, I generally talk to Charlie. And, you know, it's been a crazy busy summer for us at work. I am tapped out. So, I jump in one of the work trucks. I don't remember which one. It was on a country western station, or country station, local station. And this song comes on. I don't know who sings it. I just remember the song. The words were, I should go to church sometime. And it's a song written by a guy who I think is honestly thinking along the lines that there's something at church, and he means Christian church in a general sense, not the church necessarily, but if you know the song I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying. I think he honestly is saying that there is something about church that draws us to it, if we're honest. I should go to church sometime. Walk a little straighter line. And I don't know the words. That song, I got to thinking about it. You know that most of the people that you meet on a daily basis, the people around you, whether it's your family, your friends, your church members, whatever, have that attitude? I don't remember when it was or how it came about, But Luke Wilson always challenges me in his messages. And he had said one time, and I don't remember if it was in a message or what, but he has a goal. And his goal was that if he could meet somebody and in the conversation, direct that conversation to some sort of spiritual topic, he'd like to do it in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. And I mentioned this before. That impressed me. But I thought, I'm going to try that. I'm going to work on that. And I've been working on it for a long time. I won't say that I can do it in 3 minutes. Sometimes things will just pop up and it's easy to just 3 minutes, got it. And I don't time it. I don't sit there and go, okay, I got 3 minutes. But I do practice. And I've gotten good at it. And here's what I've found. It's not hard to start up a conversation and then redirect that conversation to something spiritual. Mr. Wilson mentioned it yesterday in his class. Find something they're interested in, whatever that is, and you can bring it to a spiritual conversation. And I've actually gotten fairly good at that. I'm pretty proud of myself for that. So the problem isn't getting the conversation started, not for me. I deal with people all day, every day. My phone never stops ringing. So, you know, I've had to learn to converse. The problem for me lies in the follow-through. And making the most of the opportunity. And this is in my notes. I didn't steal this from Mark. Just so you know. Where is he? Right there. The problem for me, and I'm just going to read it as I wrote it, lies in the follow-through of making the most of the opportunity and taking the conversation from a casual spiritual conversation to making the commitment to dedicate time, energy, and resources to get that personal Bible study started. Starting the conversation is a piece of cake. It's as I'm reasoning or visiting with these people, my mind is doing a mental calculation. And I know the amount of work that I'm going to have to put in order to get that study started and keep it going. I'm not a techie person. I don't Facebook, Snapchat, or Instagram. You know, the idea of using the internet to gain contacts, no thank you. I don't need it. I'll do it one-on-one because that's how I am. And I wouldn't fault anybody that does. I just, in my case, it's going to be me and you, eye to eye, one-on-one. That's how I make relationships. No matter what method you use to make the contact, ultimately, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, it's going to come down in all cases to the personal one-on-one Bible study. Proverbs chapter 26. I'm sorry, Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, first. We'll go to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Proverbs 26, verse 15. Proverbs 26, verse 15. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 37. You will notice this is red letter. He said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The lazy man will beg during the harvest and have nothing. He buries his hand in the bowl, wearied to bring it to his mouth. When is the time of harvest?
Now.
Right now. I'm not a lazy man. And yet, spiritually, I have been lazy. The harvest is now. And if I'm not reaping a crop, I'm lazy. Wearied to bring it to my mouth. What more can I give? I'll ask myself. What more can I do? I'm tired from the day-to-day grind. What more can God expect of me? Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if either of them falls, one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Ecclesiastes 6. Verse 3. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, however many they may be, but his soul is not satisfied with good things, and he does not even have a proper burial, then I say, better a miscarriage than he. In Hebrews 12, Hebrews 12, 11 through 13. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. brothers and sisters, we're not in this alone. And I praise God for that. And if you're trying to seek and save the lost, if you're trying to do personal evangelism on your own, then sooner or later, you're going to burn out and you're going to fade away. You can't do it. We need each other. There are some people who can do it. I think Mr. Wilson can do it. I think he would do it if all of us just forsook it and went away. He'd just start over. I think he can do it. But I can't. I need your help. I need your teamwork. And that's what it's about. Ultimately. Teamwork. Not individualism. I don't know who said it. It's not about trying harder. It's about loving more. It's about loving more. Do you love the souls of the lost? And I've had to ask myself that question. Do I truly love the souls of the lost? If so, am I willing to work with you? Are you willing to work with me for the purpose of saving souls? As I wrote in my notes here, and this is applied to me, but I think it applies to all of us as the church. I need to find a common goal with you. And we as a congregation need to have a common goal, work collectively to achieve that goal. There has to be proven leadership that will set the pace and then direct with diligence. And I've got to be willing to humble myself and fall into submit to that leadership for the sake of the lost. We have to have an outreach as a congregation that's focused on collective evangelism. And in my case, I need to work on developing better relationships with the family of God. And until that happens, I won't be effective. And if it doesn't happen, then like the church in Ephesus, it's just slow death. See, I needed Mr. Wilson to have the courage that he had to stand up to the congregation in Bozeman and say, "We are dying." If he didn't love our souls, he wouldn't have said it. I needed to have a bad attitude about the Sunday morning message, which was not bad. It was like that evangelism class that was presented yesterday. It's how I perceived it and the defensiveness that I took to what was said. And I had to go to work on that. And I needed to repent. Go back to Isaiah 58 and we'll close this up. Again in verse 2. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways. As a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God, they ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Because on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife. and to strike with the wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is this the fast, a fast? Is it a fast, this which I... Is, I'll get this right. Is it a fast like this which I choose? A day for a man to humble himself. Is it for bowing one's heads like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast? Even an acceptable day to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, time is short. The harvest is now. We need to work together. We need to offer God a sacrifice that He desires and not do it our way. If there's relationships that you need to mend for the sake of the kingdom, then mend them. If you need to repent today, then repent. The time is short. Let's get this done. Let's get this done. Let's be the bride that Christ desires. Be so desirable, He can't wait to come get her. Amen.